Welcome to Explorations of the Heart and Soul, guided meditations by Australian Zen teacher Andrew Tutel. Find out more at ordinarymind.com.au. Andrew's Zen teachings are made possible by donations from people like you.
Joko Beck once remarked in one of her talks that enlightenment is the absence of something. So we will be exploring what that something is this morning. The Western impression of enlightenment in the early days, in the 60s and 70s, was of some remarkable, exotic kind of experience. Like some kind of ecstatic experience or some kind of drug-induced experience. Many people were attracted to Zen, seeking that kind of special experience. But as our practice, our Dharma practice in the West has matured, so has our understanding that really enlightenment is not about the big, special, big bang, or it's actually much more simple than that. Nothing special. It makes all the difference in the world. Rather than being something very special, awakened awareness is more like the most simplest form of conscious experience we can have. Joko calls it simple mind. Shunryu Suzuki called it beginner's mind. You can call it Buddha mind, or you can simply call it awareness of awareness, or pure awareness. This is a quote from Joko's book, Nothing Special, and the chapter is called Simple Mind. The only mind that can sense life in a transformed way is a simple mind. The dictionary defines simple as having or composed of one part only. Awareness can take in a multiplicity of things, just as an eye can take in many details at once. But awareness itself is one thing only. It remains unchanged without additions or modifications. Awareness is completely simple. We don't have to add anything to it or change it. It is unassuming or unpretentious. It can't help but be that way. Awareness is not a thing to be affected by this or that. When we live from pure awareness, we are not affected by our past or present or our future, because awareness has nothing it can pretend to. It's humble. It is lowly. Simple. So simple that it usually goes unrecognized throughout our daily lives. Covered over or obscured. By what we can call our self-centered dream or our separate self. So when we sit in guided meditation or in silent meditation, we are always wanting to uncover this simple mind and simply relax into this simple mind. For a moment or two, you may feel the presence of this mind. It's always now. We could say that the purpose of silent meditation or guided meditation is the process of disidentifying from the suffering that is generated by the way in which we consistently identify as a personal separate self with the flow of impermanent, interdependent phenomena. And one of the best ways to begin the process of uncovering simple mind is simply to be able to observe how we become identified with what the Buddha called the five aggregates or the five skandhas. So in the lecture series we've been having on Indian Buddhist philosophy, We have been currently looking at the first turning of the Dharma wheel, when the Buddha talks about the Four Noble Truths and the Five Aggregates. And in his second talk, it's a talk on what is called non-self. So we can take our cue even from those early Buddhist teachings that are recorded in the Pali Suttas. The importance of seeing how we inevitably get caught up and entangled in mistaking these bundles, these five aggregates, as being me or mine or I. So we are experiencing sensations, which is how we experience the body. And we experience the feelings generated by those sensations. Sometimes they may feel pleasant. Sometimes they may feel unpleasant. Then notice the tendency we have to grasp onto or push away pleasant sensations, wanting more pleasant sensations and not wanting the unpleasant sensations. Thereby falling into the illusion of what the Buddha described as thinking that we have some agency or control over those sensations. And the fact that we have no control over those sensations is an observation we can all make, which can lead us to the conclusion that these sensations are not myself, not my personal self, not a personal self. But because we all have a sense of self, we inevitably relate to our sensations as if they were part of ourselves. Pain feels like it's happening to me. And pleasure feels like it's happening to me. I want to create more pleasure and have less pain. So that is, you know, one definition of dukkha, suffering. So Joko Beck was a great fan of just simply experiencing your sensations. and noticing how we have this very subtle grasping or pushing away. So in our formal meditation practice, letting go of that grasping, just allowing ourselves to be the flow or the experiencing of sensations, letting go any attempt to control them or change them in any way. We simply allow the sensations to be as they are and practice non-separation from them. When we practice non-separation from sensations, we are letting go of identification as a separate self. Same with the feelings of pleasure and pain, etc. Simply become non-separate from the feelings and let go of trying to control them or change them. The same observations can be made of our perceptions. Visual perceptions, perceptions of sound. Do you see a beautiful round red object, an apple? And we may experience the impulse to pick up the apple and take a bite. And again, a sense of self is created. A sense of me choosing to pick up the apple and bite the apple. Or we may hear a sound may be unpleasant, such as cars or lawnmowers or sounds which can be disturbing to our sense of self. And immediately we want to try and control them and make them go away. Reaffirming our sense of being a separate self. And we can practice with sounds and visual objects in exactly the same way we practice with sensations and feelings. Just simply allowing them to be exactly as they are. Letting go of notions of grasping and the grasper. Just simply going with the flow of perceptual experience from one moment to the next. Then we move to one of the big items of the skandhas or the aggregates, often called mental formations. Covers a lot. Sometimes I like to just simplify that as emotion thought, or emotions and thoughts, impulses, volitions, and how the sense of self arises. So sometimes it's a good idea to ask yourself the question, is the self that we take to be me the owner or feeler, thinker of our emotions and thoughts? Or are our emotions and thoughts constructing our sense of self? Our default position is that we fall naturally into feeling that we are the thinker of our thoughts and the feeler of our emotions and the agent of our actions. But when in practicing meditation is an opportunity to see that all we ever experience are emotions and thoughts. And the sense of self that arises, which is an illusion, but is experienced as if it was real. Because we don't see clearly that the sense of self is an illusion, then we identify with those emotions and thoughts. Again, thereby suffering. Through our practice, we can just simply again, the same principle as with sensations and feelings. Be non-separate from the emotions and thoughts. Just allow them to be as they are. They are impermanent, interdependent. They arise and they pass away. When we let go of trying to grasp onto or push away, we just simply are experiencing those emotions and thoughts, and they quickly diminish, resolve themselves naturally. Another way of becoming aware of how we identify with a sense of being a separate self. Have you ever noticed when sitting down to meditate in silence, how there's a subtle resistance which arises? There may be a thought arising, this is boring, or thought arising, there are other things I could be doing. What's this sitting here doing nothing uselessness. There's always a kind of resistance which arises. This comes back down to our natural sense of self that we've developed over thousands of years of evolution, sense of me needing to grasp and the sense of being a grasper. There's nothing wrong with it. It's how we're all basically wired. But this grasping and the grasper illusion creates a perpetual sense of lack, of never being complete. Always seeking which, from the point of view of the evolution of our body-mind over thousands of years, it's totally understandable that's what we're going to experience. From the point of view of survival, we are in a sense programmed to feel that way. If we go without meeting our basic needs for water and for food, we will seek out what we need to survive. We cannot eliminate these basic needs. The Buddha tried that one. That wasn't successful. You can't starve yourself to enlightenment. We need to attend to our basic needs in the same way we would attend to a child. We care for our body and our mind as best we can. The sense of being a separate self is really, by definition, this movement of seeking, grasping. The separate self can never be here and now. By definition, that's the extinguishment of the separate self and the uncovering of what Joko called simple mind. See your simple mind. Just the basic awareness of awareness, has no needs, is always complete. It's never seeking. It just is. The simplicity of just being. That's why we use the metaphor of refuge in our Buddhist teachings, to refer to this awakened awareness, this Buddha mind, this awareness of awareness. This is freedom from grasping and the grasper, freedom from seeking, freedom from feeling that we're never there, freedom from the sense of lack, in the sense of never being good enough. Having said that, even being caught up and identified with the separate self has its purpose. That's where we all start, that's where we all begin. So life, being our great teacher, teaches us through suffering. So in our practice, our task is to learn, see suffering as a marker that we're just a little bit out of sync. The wheel isn't sort of functioning very well. And we just need to bring ourselves back into alignment with simple mind. When the wheel starts to get wobbly, or if the wheel drops off, then you know that you're out of sync. You're no longer in alignment with simple mind. When we feel overwhelmed by emotions and thoughts, and we're upset and we're distressed, we're out of alignment with simple mind. So suffering teaches us by giving us this feedback constantly to come back home to our simple mind. So when we sit down to meditate at home and notice that subtle resistance that arises, notice the desire to be somewhere else, seek something other than this, this simple mind. The separate self wants to move away from this. But if we just simply observe that movement of resistance, just working with it as the same way we would work with sensations and feelings and thoughts, it will fall away and simple mind will be uncovered in all its pristine beauty and clarity. So simple mind is not the movie, it's not the drama. The movie in the drama covers, obscures a simple mind. And human beings being human beings, we can get quite addicted to the drama, to the movie, to the sense of excitement which that can bring sometimes. And we miss and forego the actual peace and happiness that comes from just simply being simple mind. And simple mind doesn't speak to us, but it is transformative. The more that simple mind is recognized, we bring that into our daily lives and respond with much more acceptance and compassion to the drama around us. As people will always be caught up in one drama or another. And a simple mind doesn't judge. Simple mind sees the unity of being that we all share, this most basic form of conscious awareness, this most minimal, phenomenal experience we all participate in. Simple mind is the base, the ground for everything that we experience. Our original face before our parents were born. Our original face before we got thrown into the drama. So please enjoy discovering, being curious, this simple mind that we all share. Allow a simple mind to soften your body and mind. Allow a simple mind to be your guide to a place of deep relaxation, peace, and freedom. Will never reject you, will never criticize you, simple intimacy. Simple being. You could even use the word love. Loving awareness. Allow loving awareness to heal and transform all the history that's left our mark on our body and mind. Because simple mind does not exist in time or space. It's free, unstained, unharmed, never damaged. And it's who you truly are. Thank you.